The Lord be with you. I see our projector is not working. Okay. Guys had me worried there for a minute. That one's not working because it's not there. I don't know. That's a good reason for it not to work. Let's take a few minutes to prepare our hearts for worship. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with them. And so we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. We sing our opening hymn. Please stand for the confession and absolution. O God, our Father, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have turned away from your commands. Have mercy on us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us for all that we have thought and said and done that is contrary to your will and your ways. And forgive us for times we have trusted in our own righteousness instead of relying on your grace in Christ Jesus our Redeemer. Have mercy on us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us for times that we have not been good stewards of your great creation, and for times we have been unwilling to help our neighbors as we ought. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Upon this, your confession, and by the command of our Lord, as a commissioned servant of God and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the God of peace sanctify you wholly. May your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, whose ways are justice and truth, strengthen our faith in Christ our righteousness, keep the eyes of our faith focused on our Redeemer, and in the end, take us to be with your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going towards Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
The psalm we read responsively today is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forward and forevermore.
The epistle reading for today is from Romans 4, 1 through 8 and 13 through 17. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one whose works his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sins. For the promise to Abraham and his offsprings that he would be heirs of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherent of the law who are to be their heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace, and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one else can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may wonder why it is I come up here as soon as I do. I do that because it gives me a chance to get myself here physically and get myself here mentally. I've been criticized for that by some people, but it works for me. And so you'll see me come up a little early. For me to walk up here immediately afterwards would mean I'm just not quite ready to do that yet. There was a tourist at the Grand Canyon, and he was walking along, looking over the edge and seeing the grandeur of that great cavern in the ground. And on one occasion, he stepped a little too close to the edge, and he went careening down the side of that canyon. And at the very last instant, he grabbed a hold of a scrubby little brush and held on with both hands, screaming his lungs out. Filled with terror, he looked up and said, "Is there anyone up there?" There was a calm voice that responded, looking, "Yes, there is someone up here." The tourist pleaded, "Can you help me?" And that calm voice replied, "Yes, I certainly can help you. Do you have faith?" "Yes, yes, I have a really strong faith." The calm voice replied, "Well then, in that case, let go of the bush. Everything will turn out just fine." There was a tense pause for many seconds, and then the tourist yelled out, "Is there anybody else up there?" That word faith is something that we hear about through all of the lessons that we have today. In the Old Testament, we read, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, and his family were living in Haran, an area that is near to the current Iraqi and Turkey border today. God comes to him and says, "Pack up your things, go to the land that I will show you." He doesn't say, "Go south over the mountains and past the Sea of Galilee and follow along the Jordan River, and when you get to this long, narrow, salty sea, then I want you to turn right, because that's going to be taking you into the land that I promised you." God didn't say that. He simply said, "Go." And we read Abram's response very simply, "So Abraham went as the Lord commanded him." He didn't say why. He didn't say, "Where am I going?" He didn't say, "How long will this take?" Although, no doubt, somewhere along the journey, one of the children asked, "Are we there yet?" In the epistle today we read in Romans, Paul has been talking about being saved by grace through faith. And in chapter 4, where we begin to read, he uses Abraham as an example of faith. In a somewhat complicated way, he says, was Abraham made right with God because of what he did, or because of the faith that he had in following? Can you imagine Abraham walking into his tent one day, says to Sarai, "Okay, pack up our things, we're going to be moving in a couple of days." And she would naturally ask, "Well, where are we going?" And Abraham would say, "I don't know, God said we are off to go." And Sarai complies, and so we can see that she has faith as well. In the gospel lesson for today, Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he recognizes that there's something special about Jesus because Jesus has done a lot of miracles. And he first of all addresses Jesus as rabbi. That was an honor that was given only to the trained and educated Pharisee preachers. But Nicodemus wants to honor him, and he wants to find out more about this Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus at night, probably so the other Pharisees wouldn't see him, but also John uses the term darkness or at night to suggest spiritual darkness or ignorance. And certainly Nicodemus was living in spiritual darkness and was ignorant about Jesus' message. Jesus, knowing what's in his heart, begins to answer his question before he asks it. He reminds Nicodemus of the story of the serpents in the desert when the people of Israel were grumbling against God. You remember the story, God sent poisonous snakes among them, and when people got bit, they died. So God tells Moses to raise up a snake on a stick and says, if you trust, if you believe, if you have faith that looking at that snake will save you, it will prevent you from dying. That's the story that Jesus reminds Nicodemus of. It talks about faith. Well, what about us today? We Lutherans are well known for our belief in the statement that Paul makes on several occasions, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. We are really big on faith. And yes, works are good, but that's not what saves us. So how about your faith today? Is it weak? Is it strong? Is it faltering? Have you ever prayed and said, gee, Lord, I'd like to have a stronger faith? Or have you even wished that you had a stronger faith? Perhaps you have said, I wish I had a faith as strong as his or hers. Perhaps you feel today that your faith just isn't quite strong enough. My guess is that you answered yes to most of those questions, if not all of them. And so what about this subject of faith? If you go out and look at books, there are tons of them out there that are written about faith. There are books with many volumes that talk about faith. Easton's Bible Dictionary uses a page and a half to try to define what faith is. If you read through Paul's letters and the book of Hebrews, you'll find that there are 161 verses that use that word faith. So faith is not something that we can define easily, that we can kind of wrap our minds around easily. So what does it mean to have faith? Let me give you some examples. When you get in your car and you go over on Highway 20 and you start heading toward Corvallis or Lebanon, you're driving down the road at 55 or 60 miles an hour. And you see a car coming at you, also at 55 or 60 miles an hour. The rate of closure is somewhere over 100, maybe 120 miles an hour. Are you worried? Not terribly. You have faith. You trust that that other car is going to stay in its lane, you will stay in your lane, and despite the fact that you will both pass within 10 feet of each other, you're not worried. You have faith that that other car is going to do what it is supposed to do. Another example. When you walk into a room, you reach over and hit a light switch, and you have faith. You trust, you believe that a light will come on. One more. You write a check to pay a bill. You put it in the mailbox. You believe that the mailman will take it to the right place, that that letter will get to the right address, that person at that address will find your check in the envelope, and they will take the check out, and they will apply that to your account. Those are typical examples of faith. It may also be helpful to talk a little bit about what faith is not. Faith is not a form or an amount of knowledge. Your faith doesn't get stronger because you know more. Faith is not a way to manipulate God. God is not more attentive to someone who knows more or seems to have more knowledge than somebody else. The last thing that faith is not an act of your will. You can't make your faith stronger. That's up to God. So then you say, well, okay, what is faith? Faith is relational, among other things. Let me give you another example of that. A child is standing on the edge of a swimming pool. Dad is standing in the water saying, come on, jump, I'll catch you. That child trusts. That child has faith. That child believes that Dad is going to catch her. And so she jumps, and Dad catches her, just like he has done before, and just like other times when he has kept her safe. Faith is part of that relationship that we have with God, which protects and saves us. And faith is also trust and believing. It is one thing to say, when you look at one of those boards at the airport that says, this airplane is headed to Denver. It's one thing to believe that. It's a whole nother thing to go get on that plane because you want to get to Denver. We trust. We believe that God's promises in the Bible are true and correct. We believe that He will honor His promises. We believe that Christ died and rose again and earned our salvation. Because if we have faith, but there's no trust, there's no belief, then that is a particularly empty faith. And faith also seeks knowledge. It is part of the family of God. We are in a loving relationship not only with God, but with each other. And so when someone in church ends up in the hospital, we want to know, well, gee, what happened? Why are they there? What's the diagnosis? When will they be coming home? And each Sunday, we confess our faith in the words of one of the creeds. We say we have faith in, we say we believe, we say we trust those words as an expression of our faith. And so, what is the good news for us this morning about faith? Now, I may be oversimplifying this, but I think it really comes down to you either have faith or you don't. It's like the computer language is the binary language that a computer uses. The letters of that language are either ones or zeros. There's not a 1.5, there's not a 2.3. The letters are a one or a zero. You either believe or you don't. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess our faith by saying that we believe three things. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ, that He lived, that He died, that He rose again, that we are saved because of that. And we say we believe in the Holy Spirit. You either believe that Christ died for you on the cross or you don't. Faith is not something that we can measure. We can measure a lot of things in this world. You go to the doctor and they're taking all kinds of measurements. Your temperature, your blood pressure, how many times a minute that you breathe. But neither they nor you nor I can measure faith, because we cannot look into someone's heart. Only God can do that. Only God knows whether indeed you have faith, and that is strengthened by the relationship that you have with Him. So, if that's the case, where does this faith that we have come from? One of the sources that I use frequently to make sure I'm on the right track is Luther's Small Catechism. I don't know when the last time was that you looked into that little book, but there's a lot of good information in there. There are a lot of questions that are answered. So I would encourage you to have that close by when someone asks a question, or you have a question in your own mind. In that Small Catechism, Luther discusses faith in several different places. His explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed says this: I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. So what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Luther further explains in that same section. He says this, the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament gives the most precious gifts. And the first one he lists is faith in Christ, followed by forgiveness, eternal life, and sanctification. That's where our faith comes from. It comes from God. It is there within us because the Spirit of God was placed in us at our baptism. So, what about your faith today? I think if you are here this morning, then you have faith. Is that faith strong or weak? The answer is yes. Because you see, I can't look into your heart. You can't look into each other's hearts and know. So if you answer, is my faith strong or weak? If you say the answer is yes, then you believe in Christ Jesus as your Savior. And that means that your faith is strong enough. Because you see, the only way that you can be condemned is to deny Christ on the cross or to not believe. So if you believe, you have faith, and regardless of how strong or weak you may feel that faith is, if you have even a little faith, if you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you trust that Jesus is your Savior, that's all the faith that you need to have to reach eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Everything that we have is a gift from God. We make our offerings today in thanksgiving for all of the blessings that God gives us every day. Thank you. We continue with the Passiontide observance. There are many titles that are given to Jesus, our Savior. One of those is Redeemer. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus died to redeem the world, to pay the price for the sin that we never could pay on our own. St. Paul writes, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus willingly went up to the cross for us and for our salvation. He will surely guide us in the way that we should go." We sing, "Guide Me, O Great Redeemer." Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of all time, we give thanks for the faith of Abraham and all those who have gone before us. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, our faith would be kept strong as well. When times of trial and trouble come, remind us of that strong relationship that you offer to us so that we might always turn to you for strength, help, and guidance. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, your blessings are immeasurable and everywhere. They are too numerous for us to mention, and yet we give thanks for each one, especially those that we fail to recognize. May we always approach you in thanksgiving for all that you have done and continue to do for us. Lord, in your mercy. Great Physician, hear our prayers for all who suffer illness, disease, and loneliness. Today we pray especially for Paula, Dan, Sue, Jerry, Dolores, Jacqueline, and Piper. And we give thanks for your healing power, especially the healing of Carrie Ann, that Carrie Ann has experienced, and pray that healing will continue. We give thanks for all in the medical profession, for their long hours and their hard dedication to their art, and ask that you bless them and all forms of treatment to the glory of your holy name. And we pray too, though, for those who cannot be with us today: Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Della, Fred, Denny, Karen, Weldon, Audrey, and Marion. Surround them with people of good faith, good counselors, and compassionate caregivers. Use us and our resources to bring about healing, dignity, and reassurance for all these for whom we pray. Lord, in your mercy. O gracious Holy Spirit, by your power, move men of strong faith to seek a vocation in the ministry, that your word may be spread and that your people fed with the spirit-nourishing message of the gospel. We especially pray that you will provide this congregation with a shepherd to guide us, to teach us, and to offer the saving grace of your sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you caused all scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, whose mercies are new to us every day, we humbly pray that you would look upon us in mercy and renew us by your Holy Spirit. Keep safe our going out and our coming in, and let your blessings remain with us through the coming week. Preserve us in your righteousness, and grant us a portion of that eternal life which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. We pray these things, we pray for these things, and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy, O God. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm sorry? I will do that. Jim asked that we pray for Linda and Jerry. Heavenly Father, we don't know every situation. We only know that you do and that you have instructed us to pray. And so we pray for both Jerry and for Linda. We pray for Jerry and his illness. We pray that you will heal him, that you will lead him to seek medical care that will resolve his issues. And we pray that you will be with Linda as she continues to care for him, especially now that she is taken down with a cold. We ask for healing, Lord, for both of them, of body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. If you have an announcement, please come forward.
Just in case anybody's wondering, so yeah, the projector color wheel exploded, so that's why it went black and white. I tore it apart last week, and so I'm searching for a new one now. AGI, the company that did our sound system, sells a good brand, and they're only about $300, so it's not like it's going to be the end of the world. So anyway, we'll probably replace both because I think that one's not too far behind.
Good morning. Next Friday, St. Patty's Day. So after church on Sunday, there will be St. Patty's Day dinner extravaganza. So all are welcome.
And that's next Sunday?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Other announcements? Let's see. I guess we got to sing the closing hymn.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.